Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Haddit.com Radio Show. Haddit.com Radio is an in-depth look at all things VA. If you need help with the VA, log on to Haddit.com. Now, here's your host, Gerald Cook.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, on this 12th day of February 2018. We're here with our co-host, Jay Basser. And today we have a real treat for you. Our guest speakers are James Cripps and Ray. Excuse me there. Ray Cobbs. How are you all doing today?
Oh, hello, well. Gerald.
Yeah, hi, Gerald. Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ray?
I did good.
Well, I'm glad to hear everybody's doing all right. I think we're going to have a really good show, and I hope everybody tuned in to listen, because not often we get these quality shows. James, I was reading something you put there on Facebook, I believe, that you had some good dealings there with the VA contacting you. What kind of deal was that?
Yeah, I applied for the HISA grant, and it took me over a year to get that grant, mainly because of lack of communication. The two ladies in charge of that grant just failed to communicate. They don't answer their answering machines. They don't return phone calls. They don't return or answer emails. Therefore, they on their own deny a veteran of his benefits. If you call the HISA program 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times and you don't get a return call, you just eventually give up. But after a year, I finally got my HISA grant and got ramps put in out back and got my back door widened where I could get a wheelchair or a scooter in there. And then I couldn't get my contractor paid.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't get my contractor paid. And like I told the news guy, I got paid last month, and then I think you got paid last month. But my contractor didn't get paid last month, and he didn't get paid this month either.
That's horrible. You know, I've heard this not first since then. I've heard of them not wanting to pay contractors.
Well, it's time for somebody to speak up and stop it. And
yes, it is.
I'm just the kind of guy to do that. You know, that's what I do. I take up for veterans.
Well,
but anyway, I told them. I had to go into the hospital for a heart procedure. They did an ablation and burned out everything in my heart on December the 5th. On December the 5th, I told them, if I have to pay the guy, I'm going to do that before I go into the hospital. I don't want to leave this world owing anybody, and I honestly didn't think I would wake up after the operation. So I went ahead and wrote him a check and paid him. But I said, when I do get out of the hospital, the first one that I'm calling is going to be Ben Hall with Channel 5 News. And evidently, they just didn't believe me. But as a result of that news program, they did pay the bill, repaid me for paying the bill. And I got a letter from the hospital director day before yesterday apologizing and saying how embarrassed they were. And as a result of my experience, they were going to change the policy, change procedures, find a better way of doing things to get these contractors paid and get veterans hooked up with their HISA grants.
Well, yeah, if they won't pay the contractors, James, a poor veteran can't get nobody to do the work for him I need.
Took me 2 years to find a contractor. When you mentioned the VA to a contractor, that contractor's gone. He don't want no part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, due to these circumstances, I can certainly understand. And the last thing you want to do is rip someone off that's willing to work with a veteran and help him.
Sure. The director invited me to stay in touch, I intend to get her email. Well, I'll drop her a service mail letter first, ask for her email address, and if she will agree, I'm going to ask her if I can share her letter to me. But I'd like to work with her just a little bit and make my suggestions. I see this as an opportunity.
By golly, yes. And I think everybody ought to get on board with you.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any forms or anything, you know, we all can sign or a petition or something. But there's bound to be something we can do. There is no excuse for doing these contractors that way. If they're, like I say, if they're willing to come out and work with a veteran and help him out, and then the VA refuses to pay him, or it always slips under the table or fell through the cracks, you know, you get tired of that story.
Yeah, and at the same time, I want to commend the Special Adaptive Housing people. They've got a guy that works for them, and I don't think he'd mind me speaking his name, of Mr. David Witt.
Yeah.
I had already been through two specially adaptive housing agents, and they think this thing is a joke. When David Witt came on board, I was suspicious of him, but I was about as wrong about him as anybody could be, man. The guy got on the ball. In a professional manner, in a timely manner, he got my specially adaptive housing grant on the road and completed. He worked very well with my contractor. My life's going to be so much easier because of that.
I can believe it. And, you know, it's a benefit you deserve. And they shouldn't try to take that benefit away by scaring off the contractors. I've heard horror story after horror story with some of these contractors.
Well, it's time it gets straightened out. Like I say, I'm just the guy to tackle that little job. I've accomplished far more than that with the VA. I'm not new to this. And Ray has had some experiences. Ray can tell you his own experiences with them.
Yeah, well, I have found out, to start with, I'll give you one of my experience. I'm also working with David Witt, and he was trying to do something for me through the same group that is handling it at Vanderbilt VA to get me a power lift so that I could get my scooter from my man cave, which used to be a garage, up to the level of my main house, so I could go to where I sleep and use the bathroom and eat and everything. And that's a part of the requirement of the adaptive housing grant. Well, he contacted them, and they said, well, hey, we're not going to do it. He needs to pay for that through his housing grant. And he said, but he's entitled to this other grant that you have to – well, we will put him a ramp in outside – so that if he has to do that, he'll have to go outside, up the ramp, through the kitchen door, which, by the way, is not handicap accessible, and get into his house that way. So if it's raining, snowing, sleet, cold, whatever, that's what I would have had to do to go to the bathroom. Well, I got frustrated because it was about to hold up my grant, so I did the same thing as James. I just reached into my pocket, pulled out the money, had my lift put in 2 weeks. Now the grant went forward. Matter of fact, David got permission to get the construction work started last Thursday. He contacted my contractor down here, and I got home today from Florida, and all the lumber and everything's in the backyard, and they've already poured me a concrete sidewalk leading around to where they're going to put the back door so I can get into my bedroom from the back of the house. That's already been done in 2 days. This guy, David Witt, is on the ball.
He's a bulldog.
That's wonderful. You know, you got somebody that takes their job seriously, you know.
VA needs to get rid of all the chihuahuas and start hiring bulldogs like David.
Yeah, we need more people like him, and that's what makes the VA look good. You know, you do.
Well, dealing with these same two ladies, Gerald, that James has been dealing with, I go down there. She gets out the VA medical handbook and reads over it to me why they were going to put me a ramp. A ramp is only one option. There is three options you have. One is the ramp. The other is a step lift, going up steps. And the third is the vertical platform lift. She said, well, we don't do the vertical platform lift because we, meaning her and the director, consider that as permanent to the home. Well, it also, in that same paragraph further down, states that when the veteran no longer needs the lift, that it's up to the veteran family to contact VA and they will come out and remove it. So it still stays the property of the VA, so therefore it's not a part of the home. Well, in my travels the last month or two, I'm going to give another shout-out to the VA down in Tampa, Florida. Those folks, there's a couple of them in there that really got it on the ball. I go down there to the doctor told me I need to go to Florida in the wintertime. Because of back and knees, and they can't do surgery. So we went down to Florida. I had a place where I didn't have ramps, and I'm talking about just small ramps of maybe 3.5 foot, I think, is what they are. They go up just 4 inches. I contacted the place in Zephyr Hills, Florida, where they sell them, and the lady said, well, you got a golden scooter. Aren't you a veteran? Yes, ma'am, I am. Are you 100%? Yes, ma'am, I am. Well, let me have your name and the last 4 years social. Well, I said, okay. She said, I'll get back with you in a couple of hours. An hour later, she calls me, and she says, the VA has approved ramps for your location here. Would you mind if we came out this afternoon to measure? No, ma'am, not at all. They came out that afternoon, ordered them that day, and installed them 4 days later. And all of that was done through the VA, the prosthetics division in VA at Tampa Hospital down there. The same as what James and I have had problems with these folks here doing, the same department. And they're all using the same VA medical handbook. But they interpret it different, and the interpretation is left up to the local director, and that's where our problems are.
Wow.
I believe that now more than others. You know, it has to be up to what the local director, just like when James finally got through his point across, the local director sent him the letter. And now hopefully she'll work with him so that no other veterans have to go with what he and I have gone through in the last year.
Well, chances are they will somewhere else. But if you can get it figured out there, we can sure pass the word along across the country and kind of give these veterans some insight of the proper action to take in order to correct this issue. Because I think we all know there's numerous veterans out here with this issue. And it's not a new one by no means.
You know, I got to get a little bit of a dig in here. If you know how to do it, you can just about get any kind of adaptive equipment from VA. I think Gerald got a dash-mounted toilet paper roller. And that sucker is, it's even electric. And it's on a timer, you know. You just put in there about what time you think you might have to go, and that timer, same time every day, you know, she'll spit out the toilet paper.
They even got a refill plate. You can drive right up to the winter and get refills.
Well, Gerald, did they put you a hole in the floor so you have some place to put it after you use it?
Well, you don't need to. You just got a hole in the floorboard.
You take a 5-gallon bucket and cut the bottom.
Just make sure there ain't no state trooper behind you when you let go, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I mentioned that one night on the telephone to Gerald, and he said, I ain't laughed so hard. He said, quit talking. I've laughed so hard I'm hurting. I ain't laughed so hard since I got out of the hospital.
Oh, God. We killed ourselves, James.
We did. We had to hang up. He was talking about my heart and my battery going down. I said, well, Gerald, I got a backup. He said, what's that? I said, you ever stuck your tongue to a 9-volt radio battery? I said, I carry one in my shirt pocket for a backup.
Oh, boy.
We better get off of that subject before we just have a laughing show here.
We can get in trouble quick. And
That's right.
I just come from my heart doctor. I almost lost you.
They're threatening to take my leg off.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, I've been to see 2 vascular surgeons and the wound, 2 different wound care clinics, and I'll know more about it tomorrow. But I've been thinking about, what am I going to do with it? Do they give it to you, or do they destroy it? It's not theirs; it's mine. I've got deer mounted in a piggy bank. It wouldn't work for a piggy bank, but I've got deer heads mounted on my wall. I might as well mount that leg. I might want to take it to a butt kicking contest sometime.
There you go.
Go
to one legged butt kicking contest. You'd have 2 legs.
Yeah. One of the biblical characters used the jawbone of an ass. I don't see why I wouldn't.
Well, you're getting
close. But seriously, I hate to lose that leg, and it's not for sure yet. I guess it's up to the good Lord and the experience of the VA.
Yeah. I spoke to my surgeon today and mentioned to him that, James, that you was having the same issues I did with my feet numb. Your feet go numb is one of the symptoms. And
Gerald,
I'm
going to have to hang up just a minute, but I'll be right back.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, Gerald.
What
about your feet?
My feet go numb, and I can't feel them, and I know that'll run into, that's due to neuropathy, I believe. And I said that'll eventually get into my circulatory, my blood vessels, and he said, yes, you're correct. And I asked him, what, is there any medication or anything we can do to put that off? Because I was thinking of James, because we had talked about it, and once you lose the circulatory in your legs, of course, you start losing toes, ankles, feet, and everything else. And he told me right at the moment, exercise is about the only thing he knew. And he said there may be some medications that could help with the lower extremities. But anyway, didn't prescribe any for me. But I see him again next week, because when they done that balloon on me, he said they almost lost me. Both my legs were, the blood vessels were calcified, and they had to go up both legs not once but twice during that ballooning on my aorta. And he said, that's not good. So,
no, it's not good at all.
He won't see me in another week, but I'm going to pursue this deal. There's got to be some kind of medication that they can give you for your lower extremities, your legs and calves of your legs, you know, and your feet. I'm sure there's a lot of veterans that are facing that issue, that their feet go numb. Mine just went to sleep, never woke up.
James's are like that, and both of mine are like that as well. And they were checking with me, Gerald, and I tell you what the VA did for me. And so far it's helped. I don't know how much it's going to help. But I had a surgeon at the VA say the same thing to me. There's some creams out there and medication, but they don't seem to work very well. And he didn't give me any, but he said, I tell you what I think might help, acupuncture. So he put in for me to try acupuncture. And the VA sent me, because it's not given here in the VA, they sent me to an outside source with Vanderbilt that does acupuncture. And it seems to have helped. I haven't gotten my feeling back, but at the last checkup, the circulation down around the bottom of my feet and in my feet and right at my ankle and heels, the circulation had improved. And the heart or the blood flow was better and stronger. I go back, I think it's April, about the 3rd, I think, 3rd or 4th, I go back for another checkup and to see if it's still working or if it went back, you know, clogging up again or whatever. But the gentleman I went to, he put needles all up and down my spine, then on my thighs, down the back of my calves, down around my feet. I bet I had 75 needles in me. It seemed like anyway. I thought he never would quit putting them in. And you lay there for 30 minutes, and then you do that once a week. And I think I had 6 treatments. And it showed improvement. It showed improvement of circulation.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah, I don't know if it worked for everybody or why my surgeon thought about doing that, but they were discussing doing the balloon on me as well. But
on your aorta?
Uh-huh. And they decided they don't want to. Well, that's what they decided. They don't want to put me to sleep anymore, similar to James, because they're afraid I won't wake up. They just flat told me, we're afraid we can't wake you up.
That's why
the guy recommended acupuncture. So I would ask your doctor about it. Some doctors are beginning to believe in it, and some doctors don't believe in it.
I don't know nothing about it, but anything's worth a try. If it'll give you some relief, and if we can save someone's leg out here or foot for them, we sure want to do it. What we learn, we can pass it on, and we'll know ourselves whether it's. Like you say, one thing might work for one guy and another for another, but at least we'll be pursuing something that could help a lot of veterans, I'm sure.
Well, they told me that basically that at the time that I went in that I had only about a 15% blood flow through the lower extremities from my ankles and feet and to my toes. After 6 treatments of acupuncture, I had increased that to where I had about 25%.
That's a pretty good jump.
Well, I didn't think it was, but they told me, he said, oh, no, he said, that's an excellent jump. He said you actually can live with 95% blockage. In other words, you'd only have 5%. He said that would still allow you to live and not have infections and gangrene and have to do your amputation.
Yes.
But he said that by increasing mine up to where I had a 25% from a 95% blockage up to a 25% blockage or 25% blood flow was enough that they felt very confident. And they're going to check it here, like I said, in April. Then they'll check it 6 months later, and then they'll determine whether or not maybe once a year go and, you know, have 4 or 6 treatments to keep that blood flow going. But I was surprised. I thought the needles would hurt. I was a little leery of having somebody stick needles in my back.
Yeah, I hear you.
And but I didn't even feel them go in. And each time after he got them in and everything, he was really good, and he put on some nice relaxing music. I fell asleep and started snoring. He asked me if he wanted me to correct that by putting some in my neck. I told him, no, that's all right.
Stick one in your neck.
Yeah, he could have put one in my nose, I guess. I don't know. He just closed it shut. Put some through my lips so I couldn't open my mouth. That's what
yeah, there you go. But we need to stay up to date on this and keep the veterans notified of what little we're learning. It sounds like that might have worked for you. Now, they did balloon my aorta, and I've noticed that it feels like I got a little bit better feeling in my feet, not quite as numb. Now, they haven't measured it. Now, before they measured it, I forget what it was, but anyway, they measured it, my blood flow down there at my feet.
Yeah.
But it feels like maybe ballooning this aorta did help somewhat. But I went through such a mess with it, it's pretty rough. And he told me my blood vessels and my legs were all calcified. And that was one of their major issues.
We could tell the difference. You know the little scope that they hold on your ankle or foot to where you can hear your blood going through the arteries?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they first time before I went to acupuncture, and when I was the surgeon did that, and, you know, you had to listen hard to hear it. I mean, you could hear it a little bit, but it sure wasn't very strong. Well, when I went back after having the acupuncture, there was no problem hearing it. It sounded just like you and I are sitting here talking on the phone. And
well, that's good.
And
he said,
well, I thought that might work. That's all he said. All he said was, I thought that might work. And he said, we'll see you in 4 months. And so I go back to him in April.
So it has to be related to nerve damage, wouldn't you think?
Well, it is. They're blocking the nerves. Let's see if I can explain what they told me. They're blocking the nerves, forcing the nerves to move the blood in a different flow.
Okay.
And that different flow breaks up some of the calcium buildup, allowing more flow through the foot.
Okay.
That's the way it was explained. That's why you have the where they're putting the nerves going down your spine, and down the back of your legs, and the back of your calf, and on your ankles, and I think there was even one on top of my foot.
Yeah.
Because I had to lay there with my foot off the table.
Yeah.
Up, you know, on my stomach with my foot off the table so that they could, I'm not sure if they put it on the top of my foot or the side of my foot because I couldn't feel it anyway. But anyway, that's what they had to do. And I had 6 visits. And, so.
But that sounds logical. I don't understand all that, but it's something. If we can get some positive news to put out for some of these veterans, we want to do it.
Well, you know, you need to always, I still say this, most VA doctors will not recommend any alternative medicine or alternative ways of doing things. But fortunately, I had a surgeon, a young surgeon. He's hadn't been a surgeon too long, I don't guess. I don't know. He's a lot younger than me anyway. But, you know, he thought that might be a chance that might work. He didn't know for sure if it worked or not, but it might work.
Well, if it's a possibility and hopefully it don't kill you, it's worth a try. You know, if it makes sense. I mean, some of this stuff, you know, totally out in left field, but if it makes sense and sounds logical, a guy should be willing to try it. I've never had nothing to do with acupuncture, but I would sure give it a try.
Well, and I was amazed. It doesn't hurt at all. The gentleman that did mine was originally from a study in China, and over there, he said, you don't have a choice of what you're going to do when you grow up. They tell you what you're going to do or what you're going to be. And he said at the age of 11 or 12, they started training him in medicine. And part of that training was the body and acupuncture and medicine of that nature. And then at I may be wrong about his age, but I think he said at the age of 40, he escaped from China and got to the U.S. and applied for, I guess, the green card or whatever. And with his knowledge and experience, Vanderbilt University hired him. So he teaches at the Vanderbilt Clinic.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he learned his job.
Yeah. Yeah, he did it for me. I don't know if it'll work for everybody. I don't know if it works in all the things that they claim that it does. But the only thing I can say is that to improve my circulation, it worked.
That's good news. Yeah, I'm going to mention that to my doctor and see if he'll do that. Because I'd be willing to try it, anything. Because you know what the alternative is. If you can't find something that'll work, you know what's going to happen.
Well, and that's true. And they told me that. They said that exactly. And let's talk about the way the veteran has to do this. There's a certain way to get it done. First of all, your surgeon has to recommend it back to your primary care doctor. Then your primary care doctor has to contact, I think it's called Feebase, and request. Okay, then they request, the primary care doctor requests you to have a visit or go see a doctor about acupuncture and for what reason. Then Feebase called me, and they had the name and location of a couple and said, which one would you like to go to? And I said, I don't know any of them. You just tell me which one you think. You tell me which one you think's the best, and I'll go, you know. But that's the procedure. That you can't do it on your own. You have to have the recommendation to Feebase from your primary care. So it'll go from the surgeon to the primary care to Feebase to the acupuncture guy.
Well, that's at your location, your regional office. I don't know if that'll work across the country, but it's worth a try. At least it's a procedure to move on. And, you know, we know how different all these places operate, even though they're supposed to operate the same. They sure don't. And
no.
It would be nice because You know yourself, we have a lot of veterans out there with these issues. And, you know, as it goes through the procedure of bugs crawling around in your legs to your hot spikes going in your feet and all this and that that goes on, you know, that builds up to it. If we could have done something a little more aggressive back then, we might have been able to avoid this. But we're up to this point now, so we have to do what we can, however we can, to try to save our feet. And it's good to know this. So at least everyone has a procedure they can follow through on, and I advise them to do it.
I mean, like, I was not a believer in it. I never had it. I didn't know if it would work or not work. But knowing what the alternative was, if I didn't try something, I didn't like that alternative. I'm like James. I don't want to lose a leg.
No.
But, you know, I'll try whatever I can try to avoid that.
Well,
hey,
go ahead.
It's time we need to take a little bit of a break here. We got to pay some bills, Gerald.
Oh, hey, Ray, can you hold on a bit? We
I'll
got to
hold.
Bill
I'll be here. Right here when you come back.
All right.
We're not going to leave.
we'll be right here.
Would it be great to be pain-free? You know, to feel like you used to feel. BioWave is a life-changing, non-opioid effective way to block chronic or acute pain. It's designed to block pain at the push of a button with patented smarter pain-blocking technology. Unlike outdated pain relief devices or treatments, BioWave blocks pain at the source. Proven effective and used by more than 30 VAs, active military, SEAL teams, most NFL, NBA, and MLB teams. Visit BioWave.com to read testimonials from veterans and active military. BioWave, VVA recognized, VA prescribed, FDA cleared, and made in America. If you're a veteran of active military or know someone that needs safe, non-opioid, and effective help managing pain, please go to BioWave.com and learn how to get treatment at no cost. Experience BioWave, block the pain, and get back in the game. BioWave.com, smarter pain blocking technology. A couple of links for BioWave is, besides www.biowave.com, is www.biowave.com/customers, www.biowave.com/testimonials, and www.biowave.com/VA. BioWave. Back to you, Joe.
Okay, we thank our sponsor there for that good message, and we appreciate you sponsoring Had It podcast, and we hope to have a continuing relationship. And we know everybody wants to be out of pain. That's for sure. So, well, Ray, let's stay on top of this and make it one of our priorities. And, of course, we got a lot of other stuff coming down the pike. You guys have been doing rather well with your group. Now, how many veterans do you have in your group right now?
I think the USVA Veteran Alliance has somewhere around 120 active members, and that changes every year because they don't carry you over. For example, some folks come and they're just there for 6 or 8 months, get the information they need, and get the help they need, and then they're on their way. Where others, like myself and like James for the last 10 or 12 years, we continue to go back and continue with memberships because you build a, you know, there's something about veterans. I don't care where you are, when you realize that the other guy's a veteran, you usually thank him for his service, and immediately there's a brotherhood there, a connection that like no other group I've ever been with or been associated with anywhere. The veterans really, you know, we heard about it when we first got started in the military. You know, I got your back, you got mine. And I think that same philosophy carries anywhere you go, regardless of what time you served, where you served, or when you served, or if you're serving today. That same philosophy is still there with us.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, any time a veteran or a group of veterans can help a veteran, I don't know, there's something about it. You just want to help them if you can. If there's any way of helping them, you want to. Let's hope it continues on. And let's hope that the VA gets more veteran-friendly. We do have some good people there within the VA, and we want to thank them for reaching a handout and sometimes doing a little extra to help them out. Most of them realize that a lot of veterans are not computer savvy, and when it comes to doing your claims or just about anything dealing with the VA anymore requires knowledge of a computer use, and most of us just don't have it. We're lucky to get one turned on and off, let alone the gabber.
Am I back in the queue, Gerald?
Yeah, you're back in.
Okay. I just came from Fort Campbell. I had to come up to Fort Campbell, Kentucky today, and we went by the commissary. We were doing some shopping, and I heard a guy way down at the far end of the aisle shouting my name. And I stopped and turned around. I recognized his face, but I couldn't put a name with it. And he said, "I'm Chris Waddell. I just came to your workshop in December, and now I'm 100%. I'm shopping the commissary." Can you imagine the feeling I had at that minute?
I bet it felt good.
Yeah. I said, you know, I'm tickled to death. You won. Every time you win, I win again. But we've got just a little bit over 100 in the organization, and we expunge members when the dues paying comes time, and they drop from the rolls. We don't just care. We don't care what our numbers are. We're interested more in quality than quantity, and we have got some really good people, active members in the USVA. We have 34, 100% permanent and total veterans now. We started with none 5 years ago. So we're highly successful.
I'd say you were. That's good.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else that James has that he's not tooting his horn about. He probably has more R1 members than any other organization that I'm aware of.
And I
that's
do,
strictly
I have two.
Because, yeah. And that's strictly due to his diligence, research, understanding the regulations. Just like you said, James is good with the computer, and that helps tremendously. And then he knows how to communicate that information to those of us like myself, who's not quite as computer savvy as he is, and helps a lot, makes a big difference.
Well, you know, and the best thing about that, they're deserving. So many veterans are deserving of more than what they're getting, and they just don't know how to pursue some of these issues properly. And the fact that you're able to keep them on, you know, give them some guidance and guide them down the road there to a successful ending is wonderful. I tell you, my hat's off to you. I don't have a hat on. But
you know,
anyway.
You need a toolbox. And in that toolbox,
yes,
you need to search prior BVA decisions and find out about people who have claimed the same thing that you're claiming. Look at the ones that won and see what they had that the ones that lost didn't have. Model your case after theirs. You need a internet access to Hadit.com. If you got questions, they got answers in their forums. Whatever you're looking for, you can find it. You need to use that. You need to draw off of other people's experience. You can spend a lifetime trying to learn on your own, or you can profit by somebody else's experience. And if you're looking for it, Hadit's there. You know, I've been with Hadit every step of the way since I first began. What Teresa's done with Hadit is just unbelievable, including this podcast and other podcasts. And the third thing you need in your toolbox, you need Ask Nod's website. The man is more knowledgeable than anybody I have ever listened to or dealt with. I wouldn't be where I am today without Hadit and Ask Nod and the BVA search prior decisions. If one of those is missing out of your toolbox, you better go on down to Sears and fill up your toolbox.
Yeah, you're right. And between Hadit and Ask Nod, their websites, you should about get anything answered. And what I like about Hadit, they have such great moderators. You can go on there and type a question, and by golly, they're going to get you the best possible answer they can. And it'll be in layman's terms where, you know, they'll work with you and get you to where you can understand it. If you're like me, you can read something and, well, what in the world is this? But I have someone, they'll interpret it for you. Kind of like the VA, they like to do their own interpretations, and not always the way you do.
Well, you know, Ray and I both, he's talking about the R1, Ray and I are both 11 steps higher than 100% permanent and total. And veterans just don't, a lot of service officers, our state instructor did not know that those ratings existed, much less how to get them. And we're talking about my mentor who led the state instruction for all of the service officers in the state of Tennessee. He just didn't understand ratings that were that high. We had to teach the VA in order to be awarded that award. And like I say, it's 11 steps higher than 100% permanent total. Not many veterans ever have a chance to achieve that, much less walking around veterans.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're so right. And the sad part is there are some that's really deserving of more. They need these housing grants and automobile allowances and stuff. Some of them have come a long way just to even get up to 100%, let alone get some of these better ratings to where they can get their home worked on and what have you.
You know, Mr. Bill Robinson is the longest held enlisted POW in history. And I think it's a pretty darn good compliment as to what Ray and I have achieved and what we do. Mr. Bill Robertson called Ray and asked him, how did he go about getting braces? He don't deal with the VA for most of his medical care. The man has had heart surgery, and the VA don't even know that. They're not aware that he's had heart surgery. Rather than go through the red tape and all that's involved with the VA, he just went outside, had it done, and he said nothing. But the fact that he would call Ray and ask Ray, how does he go about getting braces, that's a proud day.
Yes.
Yeah, and I have the highest respect for him. But the seminar that we had last year, he came and spoke and told of his experience in the Hanoi Hilton and as a prisoner of war and what they did to survive. And it's just really just to hear him talk and realize that he's a veteran like you're a veteran, it makes you proud to be a veteran. And when we first came out of the war during Vietnam, being a veteran wasn't necessarily something you were proud of. And I think all of us can relate to that, and we all know the stories of what happened to some of us. And but as time has gone by, and this last Veterans Day, I happened to be coming out of a store in a shopping mall, and I was on my scooter, and I had gone to a ceremony during the lunch hour, and I had on the fatigues that James talked me into buying, and I was riding my scooter, and this young lady, probably high school age, might have been a freshman in college, comes up to my wife and says, would he mind if I spoke to him? And Pam said, no, not at all. And she walked over, she reached her hand out, and she said, thank you for your service. And I just wanted to say, happy Veterans Day. That had never, ever happened to me before. And it meant a lot.
The most astonishing thing happened to me yesterday. I was in Walmart, had my cane, both braces on. You can see my braces. They're chrome, and they go down, and they attach to the soles of my shoes. And the way I walk and using my cane, it's no trouble telling that I have on braces. And by the way, for those who wear those braces, if you're having trouble getting your pants leg over them, take your pants down to the alterations people and have a 14-inch zipper put on the inseam. Make it so much easier to get those braces on and off. And get your britches leg down, even to pull it up and scratch your leg, you know. But I was in Walmart, and a guy came from behind me on a Walmart scooter. And he pulled up beside me, and he said, sir, would you like to have my scooter? You could have knocked me over with a feather. He was willing to get off of that scooter and offered it to me. I just didn't know what to say except thank you. I'm doing very well without it, but I appreciate the gesture.
Hey, quick question, Shane.
Yeah.
Quick question. Were you having to wear those braces and stuff? Don't you now qualify for a clothing allowance?
Yeah, and I get a clothing allowance for the chloracne and the medications thereof that tend to ruin my clothes. And mm-hmm. I also get another clothing allowance for the brace on my right foot. And
okay. This
year, because I've been issued one for my left foot, I'll be eligible for three clothing allowances, one for the left foot. And that's possible because me and Ray researched that. They turned Ray down on one, And we got the VA handbook, and we sent it to them, or Ray did, and showed them where Secretary Shinseki came up with the new rules regarding the clothing allowance, and you can have one, mm-hmm. one for each leg, because the second leg tends to wear out the clothes quicker than only one leg.
Yeah.
So I will draw for two legs and my chloracne. So there'll be three next year. But
I drew two this year, one for each one of the braces that I have to wear, one on the left and one on the right foot. So
okay, now how does the service station work? Do you have to be 100% or can you be a certain
You just have to have a brace issued to you. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I just found out from another veteran, you can even, if the doctor says you have to always use crutches, you actually can also mm-hmm. get it for crutches. And
a wheelchair.
Yeah, a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. But if you just have braces alone that are issued from a doctor, and you got to fill out the form, and you got to put on there when you got them, when you started wearing them, and what they're mm-hmm. for. It's got to be service connected. Where the reason you have okay. them is because of the problem of service connected. In my case, it's diabetes, neuropathy, mm-hmm. secondary to the diabetes, which is service connected, and then. I believe, James, don't we have to turn those in by the 1st of July or the 1st of June?
Turn them in by the 1st of July, and they don't forgive you if you're a day late. Although
yeah.
they are 2 to 3 months late issuing the actual clothing allowance, but you should get a letter as to whether or not you were approved for that allowance.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the educational part.
By the way, that clothing allowance was, until we got the increase, this past increase, it was $741 each. But mm-hmm. we did get a raise, so it'll exceed $741 per clothing allowance, and you can get multiple clothing
okay.
allowances.
Oh, so you can get that okay. more than once a year.
Well, no, not more than once a year, but you can if you wear two braces, one on each foot,
yes.
you get two.
Okay.
Then if you have a skin disease on top of that, you get your third one. If you have a wheelchair, and your wheelchair tends to tear your clothes, you can get a fourth one. I think four is the maximum, but now don't quote me on that. I'm not sure about the four being the maximum, but it seems like I've heard that it was.
Well, that's okay. That's a help, you know.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, I know if you're wearing braces, you're wearing clothes out.
That's right.
That's something you check
into. I use that to take to my pants to the alteration people and have the zippers put in. They charge me $10 a leg. To install the zippers, and then $5 a piece for the zipper itself. But it's well worth it. It blows a doctor's mind when you go in. When I go in to have my leg checked, they say remove your britches. I just unzip that britches on the bottom and pull them up. It just blows their mind.
I like that. That's good. That's good. That's smart thinking, James.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things you have to cope with, and that's I have to loosen my brace.
You have to take them off and get an X-ray, though, because that zipper's going to look kind of funky on an X-ray. They'll think you got zipper skin.
Yeah, it looks like I've been stitched up down there.
You're all zipped up.
I use part of my clothing allowance to have those pants fixed. But, you know, that's what it's for. It makes for an expensive pair of pants. In fact, I stopped in Clarksville Race talking about buying uniforms, and I bought me another set of camouflage Vietnam-era pants and I picked up the zippers at Hobby Lobby. I'll take them to the alterations people tomorrow and have those fixed. I didn't know until Veterans Day that I couldn't get my camouflage pants down over my braces, and that kind of caught me off guard. So on Veterans Day, I had to wear I wanted to wear my BDUs, so I put those on, and I had to put the braces outside. And these braces are pretty good size. They're heavy. They've got springs in the side of them. Not something you want to brag about and show off. I don't like for people to know that I'm wearing my braces. I carry a little can of oil with me sometimes. They start squeaking. Kind of reminds me of the tin man on the yellow brick road, you know, to pull over, unzip my flap, put a drop of oil in each spring. And while I'm at it throughout the day, I have to loosen those braces because my legs swell. So those zippers give me access to the loosening that brace so many times a day. It's a good idea. And I'd like to pass that on to people who do wear those braces.
Well, gentlemen, I had to say it, we're totally out of time.
Boy, this has went fast. Yeah. Okay.
Good thing. Good show. Real good show.
James, you and Ray, we really appreciate you coming on. And this was a great show. And let's stay up to date here on this, on our legs and feet here, and see what we can't figure it out. Ray's already mentioned acupuncture might be a way to go. Anything that's worth a try, we need to try it. And see what we can figure out. At least we can pass it on to other veterans.
Yeah, we'll get together after my visit in April, and we'll tell you what the latest result of the test are, or what my podiatrist is going to say concerning my feet and the circulation.
Well, yeah, Go ahead,
Dan. Make sure when you put your shoe on that your shoe horn is not laying in the bottom of your shoe. That started all of my problems. That's what happened to me. I walked all day, all along on that shoe horn. I didn't know it was in my shoe. But,
bad.
Yeah.
But with us seeing three different doctors on the same type of issue, we might accidentally come up with something worthwhile. Who knows? So, I guess this will be Gerald Cook with Jay Besser, and here with James Cripps and Ray Cobbs. We'll be signing off for now.
You've been listening to the Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Hadit.com. All opinions expressed here are the opinions of the individuals appearing on the show, and are not the opinions of Hadit.com or Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next time for another edition of Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio and the Ask Basher Show.
Still in there, right?